I'd like to ask you to turn to John, the 15th chapter. In John, the 15th chapter, we have a teaching of Jesus that we're familiar with. But I think many times we haven't understood the aspects of it. And you know, we live in an area of the country where we ought to be able to uniquely understand the analogy that Jesus lives and uses. We live in an area that has a lot of fruit. We have a lot of orchards. We have a lot of vineyards. There are methods that are used in sustaining these places that are very much along the line of what was going on in Jesus' day. And he uses this in a beautiful way, in a beautiful lesson. And I think it's one of the most easily understood analogies in all the Bible. Let's start out by reading John 15, starting with verse 1. I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Some of you may have a translation that says husbandman, the person who owns the vineyard, the person who plants the plants and prunes them, the one who maintains the vineyard. I am the true vine, and our Father is the gardener, the dresser, the husbandman, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he trims clean, so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit in itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you will and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing to be my disciples, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I don't know about you, but I want my life to be fruitful. I want my life to be productive. I don't have a lot of years left on this planet, and when I am gone from this planet, I want those who remember me to remember things that my life produced. I think we're all that way. I hope we're all that way. And this particular passage of Jesus gives some important concepts about how we do that. As we've said, the husbandman or vine dresser or planter is God. God is the one who created the vine. God is the one who sustains it, feeds it, prunes it. If you've done any gardening, you know what that's about. If you've worked with fruit trees or grapes, you know how important it is to prune, how important it is to care. God has created us. He provides for us. In Acts 17, in verse 28, we have an incredible description. For in him we live and move and have our being. Is that your relationship to God? Do you comprehend the nature of God as one in whom we live and move and have our being? We've gone through quite a winter. We've seen a lot of strange weather. We have all kinds of discussions going on about global warming. We see all kinds of predictions about drought. But you know, as a person trained in the sciences, one of the things that appears to me and appeals to me is the fact that this isn't the exception. This is the norm. If God did not sustain us, we'd be gone in a heartbreak. I've made that so many times, made that statement so many times. We have lessons in which we talk about all the parameters that are necessary for life to exist. It was not just having dirt and air and water and those types of things. There are so many other factors, so many lessons in physics, and I won't bore you with the physics lesson right now. But I have a sheet that we distribute in our ministry. There are 47 different things we know from physics that have to be exactly what they are for us to exist. In Him we live and move and have our being. But in this passage, Jesus goes beyond that. He says, I am the vine, the true vine. Why does He say the true vine? Because there's lots of other vines out there. You know, I have about an acre of ground, just a little bit less. And I made the mistake of putting a trumpet vine in one part of my yard. Yeah, they have pretty orange flowers. I thought, okay, I like pretty orange flowers. That crazy thing grew about an inch a day. Pretty soon it had taken over my birdhouse. All the birds left. The pole it was on left. Then it started across the yard, started up the trellis that I had the roses on. They left. Then it started on the air conditioner. I had to stop that one. Do you know what? I have worked for 15 years to get rid of that trumpet vine. It's not a true vine. It's a very evil vine. It's got pretty orange flowers on it. But you can't kill that sucker. You just can't. And as if that wasn't enough, I have poison ivy vines that are that big around. Well, you begin to understand what I'm saying here? The true vine. There's a lot of other vines out there. And they all bear fruit. Do you know the birds love poison ivy vines? Poison ivy vines have little red berries on them, and the birds eat the berries. Then they pooped the seeds on my yard, and I got poison ivy everywhere. It's kind of interesting to realize that there are vines, and they bear fruit. But the fruit they bear isn't always good fruit. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 7, beginning with verse 16. Jesus says, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? Or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. By their fruit, you will know them. Now, if you've done any gardening at all, you know what that's about. Everything that was said there, you've done. But the obvious parallel that he's talking about here is spiritual, not physical. But he's talking to people that make their living growing vines and trees. And so the analogy is beautiful. And as I said to start with, where we live here in this area, if there's any bunch of people that ought to be able to understand this, it ought to be us. Because you go west of here and you're going to see vineyards and orchards. And you're going to see everything Jesus talked about portrayed in what people do. But the fruit of poison ivy is little red berries and a lot of itching. The fruit of wild grapes is little grapes too hard to eat. And they crowd out everything else. The fruit of the trumpet vine is pretty orange flowers, but they take over everything and kill everything. In the South, they have a thing called kudzu. It's killing everything. Religiously, there's a lot of vines out there. How do we tell that there is one true vine? Because Jesus says, I am the true vine. And he answers it in this passage. What's the fruit? What is the fruit of Islam, of Muhammad? You know, it's interesting. The media is finally beginning to realize that all that ISIS is doing is following the Quran. And the reason that had not been known is because the media had never read the Quran. And I've given you sheets showing you the passages that ISIS is using. What's been the fruit of following the teachings of Buddha? Has it elevated humanity? How about Marx? Did that work? How about Lenin? Did that work? How about Richard Dawkins, the current atheist? Is his fruit working? Is it productive? How about Darwin? What has that led to? Especially those who have tried it in social evolution. Jesus is the true vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. How do we know that's true? Look at the fruit. Look at the result of following those systems. But then he talks about branches. And he talks about two kinds of branches. Good branches and bad branches. Now, I'd like to point out to you, this does not refer to denominations. I've heard preachers say that. But this passage is before the church has been established. So he's not talking about denominations. He's not talking about man-made religions. He's not talking about any of the systems, the moral systems that are present in today's world. I'm not saying those aren't relevant to that, but that's not what Jesus is talking about. Branches that are part of the vine produce fruit. Okay, what's the fruit? The fruit is how we are changed. Romans 6, beginning with verse 19, says, just as you used to offer parts of your body in slavery to impurity. Let me just stop there. You want to see people offering parts of their body as slaves to impurity? Turn on your television set. Go to a movie. Look at the kind of material that is on the newsstand. People offering their bodies as slaveries to impurity. But you see, high school kids are encouraged to do that. It's part of the social structure of our culture. He goes on and says, and to everlasting wickedness, so that now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. Yeah, you want to be free of the control of righteousness? Listen to the world. Listen to what you're being encouraged to do. Listen to the sin industry. Listen to the people across the street. Free from the control of righteousness, what benefit did you reap at the time from the things you are now ashamed of? And he goes on and he says, these things result in death. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's the benefit of offering your body to slavery? Some of you have heard me tell this story. We were in Las Vegas many years ago. Phyllis wanted to go down to the casinos to look at the shops that were in the casino. She had heard that in Las Vegas there were incredible stores in the casinos. Well, I'm not much interested in stores, so I went as sort of her escort. And she went to look in the stores, and I sat down, and a young lady came and sat down next to me. Turns out she was a lap dancer at one of the casinos. And we got to talking. I was writing an article about morality. I think somehow being in Las Vegas had motivated me in that direction. And she wanted to read it, so I gave it to her. She started reading it, and I was talking about this passage. And she said, I'm a slave to sin. I said, what do you mean? She said, I'm trained to do things that turn men on. And the result of that has been not only a destruction in my life. She says, I'm not a hooker. I'm not a prostitute. I don't do that. But they go to someone who is once I leave them. And it has destroyed my life. I can't have a relationship with a man. My kids don't know who I am. And when people find out who I am, my kids don't want to know that. She says, I've attempted suicide a half a dozen times. Slaves to sin. Now, this girl wasn't a Christian. She wasn't interested in a big, heavy moral discussion. But I just say to you, you know, look at the fruit. Look at what Jesus is talking about here, and look how it applies in our world. Galatians 5, beginning with verse 22, says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is," listen to these words, "love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." There's the fruit. There's the fruit. And the only way you're ever going to accomplish those things, and none of us have arrived, but the only way you're going to accomplish that is to be part of the vine. Tapped into the power that Jesus gives you to love, to have joy, to be peaceful, to be patient, to be kind, to be good, to have faithfulness, to be gentle, to have self-control. And if you don't have those things, and I don't have all those things, why not? Because I need to be tapped in more fully to Jesus. I need to be a branch that is more productive. Fruit is not only those things, it's how we use our time. James 4, beginning with verse 13, talking to those of us that are breadwinners. "Now listen, those of you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a while and then vanishes." Let me ask you something. What do you do with the time God has given you? See, that's part of the fruit. You got 168 hours a week. What do you do with it? How much of it do you use in doing things that bring out patience, kindness, goodness? And fruit is in bringing others to those things, bringing others to the Lord. Mark 16, 15, "Go preach the gospel to every creature under heaven." Why? Not because you're trying to control people, not because you have some kind of ego trip of being a preacher that can claim so many conversions. That's not the stuff at all. What it is bringing people to a life that has purpose and meaning. Fruit is in meeting needs. And the church is a vehicle to do all of those things. There are unfruitful branches in religion. There are churches that don't do what we're talking about. There are moral systems that don't do what we're talking about. Jesus calls us to be a branch. But may I point out to you thirdly that branches can wither and have no function. Did you notice verse 6 of that passage I read in John? In verse 6, he talks about the fact, "If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers." Remaining in Jesus, having a function. That doesn't mean just claiming to be a Christian. Claiming to be a Christian doesn't cut it. What do you do when somebody asks, "Well, what religion are you?" You say, "You're a Christian." What does that mean? To them, it means you go to some church. But our world knows that going to some church doesn't mean that there's any difference between you and anybody else. Just claiming to be a Christian doesn't cut it. Listen to Matthew 7, starting with verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name did we not drive out demons? And in your name did we not perform miracles?' And I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me.'" Wow. You mean I can be doing all those things and have no relationship to Jesus? See, Jesus isn't interested in showy religions. You know the old saying, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one"? Boy, is that true. Because it's so important to understand that all of the statements that are made, like this one, are made in the context of false prophets, are made in the context of bearing fruit. claiming to speak for Jesus is useless. And Jesus made that so clear in Matthew 25, beginning with verse 31. He gives us a picture of the judgment scene. And he compares us to goats and sheep. And he says, okay, you goats, get out of here. You're not part of me. And the goats say, well, Lord, why not? And he says, well, because you didn't preach any good sermons. Right? Because he said, well, you didn't have a television show. Right? He says, well, you didn't give such stirring presentations that thousands of people came down the aisle. Right? What does he say? He says, I was in prison and you didn't visit me. I needed something to eat and you didn't give it to me. I needed something to drink and you didn't bring me water. And they said, well, when didn't we do that? And he said, as much as you didn't do it to the least of me, as you didn't do it to me. See, that picture is not a picture of fruit bearing in the sense of putting on a big show. I'm not interested in building a huge cathedral here. This building is more than adequate to do God's will. We need to understand that what being a Christian is about and what being a branch is about and what being fruitful is about is what we do, not what we have. What we say, what we present, how we help people along the line. Why are we talking about going down the neighborhood and giving a plant to everybody in the neighborhood? Because we want them to know we care. We want them to know we want to be part of this neighborhood. We want them to see us with Richard's flak jackets, those things that tell everybody we're cleaning up the highway, to be also bringing a plant to them and saying, look, we're not only cleaning up your yard, we're also wanting you to have something beautiful, something really neat that we care about you. Now, that whole program of the plant was rooted in the idea of us being able to say to our neighbors, we care about you. We want to be fruit bearers. We aren't interested in building a big fancy building here. We're not interested in putting on a big show. You don't have to worry about us having a concert that's so loud that it blasts the windows out of your house. That's not what we're about. We're about serving you, the goats and the sheep. And of course, I met the negative side of that. The sheep thing is just the opposite. And that's right after the parable of the talents. Read it contextually. Right after the parable of the talents, you see, God wants us to use what we have. And we might not have a lot, folks, but we've got enough to make a difference in this neighborhood and in this community. Let me tell you something. That passage I read in verse 6 talked about the branch being cut off. It's going to wither and die and be burned. Congregations not bearing fruit are going to wither. Congregations not being the true church will not survive. We can't just stay the same and do nothing. Doing has to be real. And it's important to understand that when we look at the pictures of what God intends for us to be, we see statements like this: pure and defiled religion before God and the Father is this. What? To visit the widows. To visit the orphans in their affliction. And to keep oneself unspotted from the world. It's not showy religious activity. And we have congregations of brothers and sisters that are content to just sit there and wither. And they will die. My prayer for this congregation is that won't be our future. That we will continue to work and grow and get more and more people involved in serving. And when we do that, people will take notice and we'll grow numerically. I'm not worried about numbers. I'm worried about us serving, bearing fruit. Let me ask you something. And this is something you need to ask yourself. You are a branch. Okay? You are a branch. My question for you is, a branch of what? Are you a branch of the Republican Party? Are you a branch of the Democratic Party? Are you a branch of the Libertarian Party? Is your branch political? Is that where your fruit gets born? Are you a branch of John Deere or Budweiser or Whirlpool or wherever you work? Is that where your effort goes? Is that where you bear your fruit? Are you a branch of the AFL-CIO? Or of the Steelworkers Union? Or of the Electrical Workers Union? Or of the National Educational Association? Is that what you're a branch of? Are you a branch of the Masons, or the Lions, or the Optimists, the service clubs? Now, let me say something here. Those are all good things. I'm not saying that you can't be a part of those things. What I'm saying is that's not where you're going to bear fruit. That's not where you're going to be able to change the lives of people. That's not where you're going to be able to meet the needs of people. And I know service clubs do great things. I've worked with the Lions Club and their glasses program for years. But that's not where my primary energy goes. That's not where my money goes. Is your branch television, movies, the NFL, the NBA? Is your branch March Madness? Now, once again, I'm not saying you can't enjoy basketball, football, whatever. What I'm saying is that can't be what preoccupies you. Is your branch Joseph Smith, Billy Graham, Tim LaHaye, John Hagee, Pope Francis, Hal Lindsey? Is that your branch? Certainly it's not John Clayton, but I think it's important to understand that religious figures, preachers, people who do good things, showy things sometimes, cannot be what we are branches of. The problem in Corinth was that people were doing that. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 12, one of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. That's what they were doing. I follow Hal Lindsey. I follow John Hagee. You hear people say that? It's the same thing that happened in Corinth. And he goes on and he says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? What's he saying? He's saying, hey, look, folks, you have to be a branch of Jesus. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. So we don't promote television shows with five-star entertainers. We're concerned about service. And in all these cases, what fruit you bear is the important thing. I want to say something to you also about this. Philippians 4, verse 13, Paul says, I can do everything, everything, through him who gives me strength. That's right after he talks about knowing what it is to be in need. You can do everything through Christ Jesus. You know, long time ago, back in 1968, I had an idea about something I might be able to do. I had some kids who were viewing science as opponents of God. And so I put together a little presentation to do with them, to show them that they could believe in God and be good, highly trained, well-educated, scientific persons. Outside of my wife, everybody said, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Outside of Phyllis, everybody said, nah, what do you think you are? You're just a stupid school teacher. You can't do that. I had one elder tell me, why don't you get back to doing God's work here in the church? Don't go out there on some stupid, silly science thing. What are you doing? That wasn't exactly encouraging. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I gave you a year-end report a couple months ago. I hope you read it. And I hope you read it not because it reflects in any way upon my ability, because it does not. If you really read that report, you're going to see that what Carl does and what Roland does who works with us and Linda does who works with us and people who have dealt with our program over the years have made possible. It's just absolutely incredible. I sit back every now and then and look at what's happening and say, good grief, how did that happen? We just got our DVDs translated into Spanish. Didn't think that would ever happen. When we were in Ecuador, the preacher there, missionary, said, we need this in Ecuador. So we translated into Spanish. We now have it in Spanish. How does that happen? Because I can do everything through him who gives me strength. God can take your life and he can do incredible things. It doesn't matter what your ability is. I don't have much ability. When I decided to go into teaching, my college professor said to me, the one thing you should never do is speak publicly or try to teach. I'm serious. That's what I was told at Indiana University by the head of the education department. And some of you are saying, well, they got that right. Well, the important thing to understand is there has been fruit. Why? Not because of me, but because of God. And if you are not grafted into Christ, you don't have that promise. That passage in Romans 11, beginning with verse 16, talks about that. Listen to this. If the root is holy, so are the branches. If you're a branch of Christ, you're holy. That doesn't mean you're a goody-two-shoes. It means you're holy. You're set apart. Some of the branches were broken off, and you, a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in their place. You know how to graft? You take a tree, you cut a slice out of the tree, especially where there was a branch. You put the one that you want on there, and you wrap it. I've seen people do it. And it'll grow fruit on that branch. You have been grafted into place and made to share in the source of richness in the root. Verse 20. It was for lack of faith that they were cut away, and you owe your position to faith. You ought not to feel pride, but stand in awe. Look at what God can do with you. I don't care who you are. There's not a person here that God can't do incredible things with. If God did not spare the natural tree, neither will He spare you. You must try to appreciate both the kindness and justice of God. God is kind. He loves you. He wants you to be a branch, to be fruitful through God's power. And He offers that strength. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. You are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. You must remain in the vine. Nothing you can do. Neither can you bear fruit. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. What a powerful lesson. When Jesus teaches about the vine and the branches, he gives us hope and encouragement and positiveness. And the realization that our lives can be fruitful and productive. And He takes us wherever we are and moves us to something better. Be a Christian. Be a branch. Be fruitful. Open your heart to God. Work on these things that are a product of being a fruit of the branch. And you'll see incredible things happen in your life. If you're here this morning, if you're not a Christian, if you have been perhaps attracted to a branch that is not connected to the vine, we urge you to let that go. Become a part of the church, a part of obedience to God in baptism and in prayer, and we would assist you in anything that you wish us to in advancing that concept and becoming fruitful, a branch of Jesus. If you're subject to His invitation, won't you come? As together we stand and sing to encourage you, won't you please come?